after they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Derek Johnson and Murdo McLeod are here with me, Gordon Duncan, this afternoon. The floor is yours, the open line is open, but let's get the full-time scores, please. Derek Johnson, I knew you had forgotten about that tonight.
No,
you just did that look in your face.
Silly.
On you go.
Don't be silly. In the Premiership, it's Aberdeen 1, Dundee 0. Hearts 3, Partick Thistle 0. Rangers 0, Kilmarnock 1. And Ross County 2, Hamilton 2. Scottish Championship, Brechin City 1, Dumbarton 3, Dundee United 1, Inverness 1, Dunfermline 0, Morton 0, Livingston 0, Falkirk 0, and Queen of the South 1, St Mirren 3. Scottish League 1, Albion Rovers 1, Arbroath 2, Alloa 2, Airdrieonians 2, Forfar 0, Ayr United 2, and Stranraer 2, Queen's Park 3. Scottish League 2, Annan Athletic 1, Clyde 1, Cowdenbeath 3, Elgin City 1, Edinburgh City 2, Stirling Albion 2, and Montrose 3, Peterhead 2. In the English FA Cup 6th round, Swansea 0, Spurs 3. In the English Premier League, Bournemouth 2, West Bromwich Albion 1, Huddersfield Town 0, Crystal Palace 2, and Stoke City 1, Everton 2.
0141 951 1025. Hugh Keevans, I like this time on a Saturday because you get the raw emotion. You get people just out of the games, fresh on their mind. They're either delighted or they're disappointed. What about today?
There are two lots of raw emotion. At the top, the Rangers fans are thinking, what happened? Two back-to-back defeats to Celtic and to Kilmarnock. Aberdeen now, theoretically, well, they're 2 points behind Rangers, but they also have a game in hand. Theoretically, they could be above Rangers and into second place. At the other end of the league, Partick Thistle, the results just will not come. The points will not arrive. And they are in deep trouble, second bottom.
Gordon DL still with us at Ibrox as well, having watched Rangers lose to Kilmarnock this afternoon. I had a feeling some people would want to air their opinions on that. And David is first up. He's a Rangers fan from Dumfries. Hi, David.
Hi, Dan. I've got a question. What do you think that Murty's future is now with them two defeats?
Gordon DL, does this change anything as far as you're concerned today specifically?
I think the big game for Murty is probably the semi-final. If he can win that one against Celtic, but in this performance today, I thought the players were shocking, Gordon. The manager made the substitutions at the right time. I don't think you can fault him. Everybody was crying out to Morelis to be left out and Cummings given a chance. He done that, so you can't criticise him for that. He had three strikers on the park at one point trying to get back into this game. I thought his players let him down today. Yeah. But you cannot go and keep losing. And Kilmarnock, especially first half, didn't actually play that well. You know, it was a poor, poor quality game, but Chris Boyd got the important goal. I just thought that it was a flat performance. There was no tempo, no pace. There was too many players went hiding. I felt for Murty today for the first time, but it'll be interesting to see what he thinks of the game, but he needs to get his players lifted. But I think he's still, it's a 50-50. He has to finish, I've said all along, he has to finish second. And if he beats Celtic in the semi-final, which is going to be a big ask, then he's in pole position. If he doesn't, I think they'll be replacing the manager.
David, let me ask David Hugh before I bring you back in. David, did today change anything for you? For instance, what did you think pre-match and compared to what you think now about Murty?
I just thought the team looked very flat, and it's not changed anything for me. I still think Murty's great, but I just don't know if he's got the tactics, if you know what I mean.
A win over Celtic is a massive result for him, because Rangers have played Brendan Rodgers' Celtic 9 times and have yet to win. But he then have to follow up by winning the cup. No point in beating Celtic and not winning the trophy. So I do agree that the Celtic game is pivotal. I just think that keeps the debate open. Will he get it? Will he not? But if he loses to Celtic, there's no debate. He won't get the job.
David, last week going into the Old Firm game, obviously, all the Rangers fans were very confident that the Rangers were going to get a victory. How do you feel today after getting beat by Celtic and then the performance today? Not so much even the result, but the performance again.
The performance was nowhere near what Rangers should be doing. They should be playing at that better level than what they are at the moment. Like, I mean, the Celtic game, they started off well. Second half, they never do it in the second half. And the first half today wasn't much better.
Gordon Deal, let me ask you about home form then, right? Because there can only be so many factors that are different when you play at home compared to playing away. So that's now Rangers dropped 25 points at home. Two draws, seven defeats. Now, like I say, there are only a couple of things that really come into play. You can talk about playing surface, size of the pitch, and perhaps then crowd expectation. What is it that's having this effect? Because it's really hard to see past anything other than they can't handle the expectation of this crowd. Yeah. Because what else could it be? The pitch is big, the pitch is immaculate, all the rest of it.
Yeah, I totally agree, Gordon. I think it is. I think there's a lot of players that their confidence goes, especially when they lost the goal today. When Chris Boyd put the ball in the back of the net, you could see one or two of the Rangers players' heads go down. You know what like the fans are here? They expect so much, and especially against Kilmarnock, not being disrespectful to Steve Clark and Kilmarnock. Well done to them. Terrific result once again. But the Rangers players, some of them, I've got to say, Gordon, they went hiding. They didn't want the responsibility. When you play at a club like this and you go a goal down in front of 49 plus thousand, you've got to roll the sleeves up. You've got to be brave. You've got to get on the ball. You've got to make sure that, you know, you're showing these fans that you've got the desire and determination to get Rangers back in. That didn't happen today. I actually says to Ronnie Charters, pick me a player of Rangers jersey you would give man a match to. And we couldn't do it. You know, you look at Windass, gone missing. Murphy, I thought, was shocking. Cummings, I think, was just trying too hard, went deeper and deeper. You had Candias, probably one of his worst games. You had the two midfield players that just get, at times, overrun. And then, you know, Russell Martin had a terrific couple of chances from, you know, especially second half. How the ball never went in, I don't know. But in the overall play, Rangers were really below par, poor. And if they I know it's a different game against Celtic and stuff like that, but they've got to win a couple of league games for that. But if they turn up at Hampden with that sort of performance, Celtic will absolutely rattle them.
You know what, Gordon, last week Graham Murty got stick, maybe rightly so, you know, for his tactics, you know, when he should have brought Cummings on. I think the majority of people can see that he didn't. Today it was different, as you suggested yourself. We're not at the game, but he changed things very quickly. And in the end, when he lost the goal, he had three strikers on. So he's done his job, basically. And unfortunately, when teams get beaten, it's the manager that always gets the stick. And that's the way it will always be. But you're right. Players have got to look at themselves as well. I keep talking about things and people go, no, that's not right. About the way the jersey's too heavy for a lot of players. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. But with Rangers, that doesn't happen. They seem to go the opposite way. So the players have got to look at themselves first and foremost. You know, the manager has to take the flak because he's the leader of them. It's up to him to get them going. But basically, it's down to what the player's got inside that jersey. Does he have it to go out when you're down, you know, to go out and produce a performance? And there's a lot of them can't do that.
I felt for Graham Murty this afternoon, I really did, because you're right, he made a change at half-time. He tried to get a bit of energy about the middle of the park. Goss, the game just passed him by. So he brought Holt on, who was the captain before, bit of energy, but never produced anything. He then makes the substitutions, and everyone was positive. He brings on the experience of Kenny Miller. He brings on Morelos. He's got three centre-forward. He can't do any more, Derek. He's got to rely on his players, and his players were dreadful. They let him down.
Mark is a Rangers fan from Port Glasgow. Mark, sum up how you're feeling this afternoon.
Do you know what? I'm still sitting here, guys, and I'm actually... I'm speechless for a start, but I'm shaking with rage. Absolutely sitting here shaking with rage. I watched the game. I couldn't get to the game today. I was watching my two daughters. But I sat and watched the Rangers TV, and I'm absolutely furious. I've got a couple of points, if I can do them, if that's okay. My first point is regarding Murty. I'm not going to go on here and slag the guy. I definitely won't. I think he's done a fantastic job for what he is. He's an under-20s coach. He's been given the job to the end of the year. But against Celtic, I'm going back to last week, when they went down to 10 men, look how quick Rodgers reacted to 10 men. Way away, brought on a centre-back and went into basically two banks of four and stopped us, hit us in the counter. That was tactical knowledge. That was excellent. Murty didn't react at all. He should have been reacting to it right away. getting the ball wide, stretching the game as far as they could. To me, I just think he's a great coach. But I just think when it comes to tactics, and quickly, you look at Kilmarnock game of day, 21-0, I seen players walking about. And the only, I heard Gordon earlier on saying about the boy Doherty. He thought he's maybe this his depth. I watched that game. He was the only one that I thought looked cared to try. He was getting plenty of tackles. He looked really angry. Let me at the end of the game. He looked, you know, gutted, head in the shot, you know, upset. But the rest of them don't look as if they're, you know, they care. As Derek says, is the jersey too for some of them? Murphy, Goss, Windass, where were they all day?
It's a sad statement when you come on here and say, well, he's the only one that looked like he tried. You know, I like Doherty. I think he'll be a terrific player. I just think he's finding it in the last two games, but against Celtic today, he's finding it a little bit difficult in there. He needs Goss isn't
is
helping
that boy?
Him. Yeah, exactly. I think he'll be a good player. I'm not knocking him. I think he's a terrific talent, the boy. But he needs a bit of help. But if a Rangers fan is on a phone and saying, well, we'll give him pass match because you're... That's a gimme. I'm sorry. That's a gimme if you're playing with a club this size. You shouldn't even question where players are trying. I think that Rangers players, at Ibrox especially, when they go a goal down and the going gets a little bit tough for them, some of them get into a shell and start hiding. It's not good enough. You can't do that at a club like this because you'll get found out.
And Hugh Keevans, the reality of the situation is, whether you were right or wrong, or anyone was right or wrong to talk about the possibility of what could happen last week if Rangers got past Celtic and all the rest of it, and this talk about title races, Rangers are now only 2 points ahead of Aberdeen, who have a game in hand.
Yeah, it's collapsed on them. And I think it requires, on Graham Murty's part, a win over Celtic to at least keep the debate open about his job. But if he loses to Celtic at Hampden in the semi-final, he's not going to be the Rangers manager. And there's other matters of uncertainty there as well. Murphy isn't a Rangers player on a permanent basis. Martin isn't a Rangers player on a permanent basis. Goss is going back to QPR. There are so many other things going on in the summertime. The wage bill will need to be reduced. A few players need to be offloaded. So, point number one, who's going to be the manager? And point number two, who's staying and who's going?
Mark, what is it about Ibrox this season that is proving so difficult for Rangers to win football matches there?
One thing you can't knock is the support, because for a long number of years, I grew up through the 9-0 season stuff, and you know, you used to even hear fans moaning. You used to show up at Ibrox and still win. They still never be happy, you know, but we've never, like, things like this support from League 4 to the current support now, that support has backed their team, and they're not doing the same. And I just don't, maybe some of them have played for clubs like Rangers, like Derek always mentions, and maybe the club is too big for some of them. But my main point is, I think that's 2 weeks in a row he's came against ex-Premier League managers. And all right, Steve Clarke didn't have the best, you know, managerial career in England, but he's coached in England with some of the best managers. And that, to me, 2 weeks in a row, he's been fun out. Murphy's been fun out against two really experienced managers that are above his level. It's not his fault. He's under 20's coach.
But Mark, as Gordon said, he tactically he got it right. He changed things when he had to. It was the players that let him down badly. I mean, I know I just said earlier, the manager has to take the brunt of it. But the players have got to look at themselves in the mirror as well.
But Derek, you know as well now, modern day football players, the manager's got to get them right.
But there's only so much you can say to a player. It's what he takes in himself that matters. You can talk to a player until you're blue in the face, but if it's going in one ear and out the other, you've no chance. Players have got to motivate themselves.
But the biggest thing about that though, you're talking about players just now who 10 days ago everyone was raving about them. No, everybody's saying, oh, Murphy's been great, Martin's been great, Doherty's been fantastic, they can do this, they can do that. Windass is scoring all the goals. And now, 10 days later, they're all poor players.
Thank you to Mark in Port Glasgow. Here's some food for thought. If the season had started when Stevie Clarke took over, this is courtesy of our stats man, Doogie Wright. If the season had started when Stevie Clarke took over at Kilmarnock, they would be clear in second. 3 points behind Celtic. We're going to speak to Charlie in Airdrie. Heath says Rangers were diabolical. That's coming up after these.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson are here. Gordon Dalziel still with us as well. He's at Ibrox and they want to take your calls. It's 0141 951 1025. Graham Murty has been in the media chair at Ibrox. We will bring you his thoughts as soon as we get them. It was a 1-0 defeat at home to Kilmarnock this afternoon. Their 7th home defeat of the season for Rangers. Share what is on your mind. 0141 951 1025. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. Charlie's in Airdrie. Hi Charlie.
How you doing?
Let's sum that up for us, Charlie. How are you feeling tonight?
Absolutely shattered. I'm sitting watching that for 90 minutes, sitting there frozen. End of the day, Murty must go. See the day with this press conference. See the way he condensed, turn around and say, listen, I'm going to resign because I can't get nothing out of this team. Because he's just making a mockery of himself. At the end of the day, he's not got a clue. And Duke even is on about beat Celtic in the semi-final of the Cup. Rangers will never beat Celtic in the semi-final of the Cup. I feel last Sunday when I came out of the Ibrox, I felt better last Sunday when Celtic beat us 3-2 in the day of the day. Well, at least we gave them half a game. We came out of there, we should have won that game that day. But then to come in and watch that today, that was absolutely rubbish, pure rubbish it was. Bringing on 3 strikers, still couldn't get a goal. Just absolute hopeless. See that guy standing next to Murty today? That should be our new manager, that guy standing next to Murty. Because Murty, as I say, the guy's alright talking on media, blah, 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 saying different things. He can put it across, but see for running the team, he's no good at it.
Just in the interest of clarity, Charlie, you say the man next to Murty, do you mean the commandant manager?
Yes.
Stevie Clark should be the next Rangers manager. That's what you're saying.
I wondered if it was Jimmy Nicol or the fourth official or someone for a minute. No, but that does make sense. I'm seeing a bit of that on Twitter at the moment, Hugh Keyes.
Yeah, I mean the job that he's done at Kilmarnock is such that he's drawn attention to himself in the most positive way possible, and he would have to be a contender. The only reason I mentioned the Celtic game in connection with Graham Murty, as I've said, if he was to beat Celtic, it would keep the debate open about his job, but he would have to win the Scottish Cup as a follow-up, because beating Celtic is not a trophy. So he'd have to win the Cup in order to at least keep the debate open. But I think Charlie is probably representative of the majority of Rangers supporters tonight. I find 7 home defeats for Rangers an astonishing stat, and it's not all Graham Murty's fault, because Pedro Caixinha has a hand in it as well, but it's astonishing.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's hear from the man himself. Graham Murty has been speaking to the media after that 1-0 home defeat to Kilmarnock, and here's what he had to say.
A lack of endeavour, there wasn't a lack of effort. We found it difficult against a very, 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 very well organised team, and we didn't do enough to pull them apart and pull them out of their shape.
Was it difficult then, before the game, obviously dropping Morelis and bringing in Cummings?
No, we'd always looked at games to try and spell Alfredo, because he's played a lot of football, and we need to be fair to Jason. Jason's been working extremely hard in training. I thought it was a good game that would fit him, but he doesn't play in isolation. We need to get good supply into him to give him a good chance of representing himself properly.
So where was the bit you felt that you were short today on?
Tempo. I thought it was a bit flat. I thought we were too slow with the ball. Backwards and sideways too often at times when there were holes to go and play in. And I thought our first pass and transition wasn't good enough, wasn't crisp enough. The amount of times we got the ball back and gave the ball back to them was very disappointing. But overall, of the whole piece, you have to move the ball faster against a team that is as organised and as compact as they are. And I didn't think we did that consistently enough. I don't have to have any harsh words. If anything, you go in there and they're more disappointed than me. They know that this place needs to be turned into a fortress. We haven't managed to do it, and we didn't take our chances when they did. And when you do that, or you don't do that, you make it very difficult to go and get the points.
What's the message to the supporters leaving you tonight?
Still believe. Keep believing in us. I've got a changing room in there that needs to keep believing. I thought sometimes today that appeared to be lacking on the pitch at times. But we need, as a team, to give the fans something to believe in. So we're conscious of that. We know that, and there's lots and lots for us to play for at the end for this season. We need to make sure that we get them energised, get them involved, and get them believing until the end of the season, because the chases and the challenges that we're still involved in are still there for us to go and grasp if we continue believing and continue to make the strides that I believe we have.
Keep believe is a platitude now. The Rangers supporters don't need platitudes. Keep believe after back-to-back home defeats again. You know, the Rangers fans have lost belief. Charlie is a regular caller to our programme and is a deeply committed Rangers man. And he is saying two things to us tonight in the previous call. He doesn't want Graham Murty to be the Rangers manager any longer. He wants Stevie Clark. And he doesn't believe that the Rangers team he watched today would have any chance against Celtic in the Scottish Cup semi-final. So keep believe, platitude.
Yeah, you're talking about that. It's keep believing to all the fans. They came last Sunday, they believed that was their chance to close the gap, get closer to Celtic, make it our title race. That was a hard one to take. But this one today, Hugh, at home, to Kilmarnock, to lose the game, it's really difficult for the fan to walk away today from Ibrox and say, oh, I'm still believing that we can still finish second and closer to Celtic.
Scott is a Rangers fan in Kirk and Tillock. Scott, what do you want to say about Graham Murty?
Oh, where do I start? I watched the game today, and I think he learned from the mistakes that he made last week against Celtic. Previous caller said it, he went away last week and felt better than what he did today. That was absolute dross, embarrassing today to watch that game. The only one, again, that for me any pass marks was Docherty. The only one for me, it looked like he was trying. Players need that attitude and need to play with a heart. I see these Rangers players gutless and heartless. And the job's too big for a lot of these players. It's very evident now with the amount of points that we've lost at Ibrox that the pressure's too much for them. The facts are there, 25 points. But anyway, back to Murty. I really like Murty. I think he's very professional. For me, he's too nice a guy. We need a manager who's ruthless and fearless, and Murty's too nice for me. You look at all your... You know, we're never going to get a greatest manager, but you look at all decent, good managers, players have a wee bit of fear factor from them. I don't think the players have that with Murty because I think he's too nice. And for me, I want somebody that I don't like but can do the job for Rangers. That suits me. You look back at Walter Smith. Walter Smith, look at the fear he had in players. Wasn't the greatest football, but he got results because the type of manager was. He's too nice. Graham Murty needs to go. The job's too big for him.
Now, Derek, I don't necessarily think you always need someone who's going to rant and rave and all the rest of it, but yeah. I did see you kind of raise an eyebrow when Graham Murty said in his comments there, oh, you know, I didn't need to go in and have harsh words. They already know how disappointed we are and so on.
I would have thought that was the reason that Jimmy Nicol's there, because Jimmy Nicol wouldn't be slow in telling players just exactly what it needs or what it takes to be a Rangers player. I think that he would be doing plenty of shouting. I mean, I take it what Scott says about him. He is a lovely man and everything else, but you always need that ruthless streak as a manager. You've got to now and again put fear into the players, and I don't think that he's got that in his nature. And that is a problem for him. And he said there again, when he was asked about the players in the dressing room, oh, they're sitting there with their head in their hands, you know, they're all good. They're the only ones that can change it. They're the ones that have put themselves in the dressing room with their hands on their head because they haven't done it on the pitch again. I think they have to show a lot more commitment. I know we were, up until last week, as Murdo keeps saying, you know, the Rangers fans and the players felt, you know, we could do a job against Celtic. And for a half, they did. They played really well. Then the second half, it didn't work. Their heads are down. And I'm saying to myself, we'll now know the character of some of these players in today's game, because they've got to lift themselves from the disappointment of last week and get up, which is another massive game today against Kilmarnock, and it just didn't happen again. So there's a few players that have got to look at themselves in the mirror as well.
Well, let's hear from the man of the moment, shall we? Kilmarnock boss Stevie Clark.
When you consider the schedule that we've had recently, it was our seventh game in 21 days, is a big ask of the players. I think you saw first 20 minutes, a little bit of fatigue. It took us a little bit of time to grow into the game, and last 15 minutes we were digging in. But I haven't got words that can praise this group of players enough. They find a way to get results. The run of matches, the run of wins that we're on just now, the way we compete with all the top teams it's got to be great for the Kilmarnock supporters to come and watch it, because I know as a coach standing on the sidelines, I'm really proud of the players, and they should be proud of their efforts as well.
And the way the young lads get stuck right in, right from the beginning, they took no prisoners, and in a fair way, but showing you, you know, how fit they are, which is again good for yourself.
No, no, for us is to come to a place like Ibrox, you have to respect all your opponents. So we come here, we knew it would be a difficult game. Like I say, it took us, I was a little bit disappointed the way we started. I thought we started a little bit hesitant, a little bit nervy, but we grew into the game. Probably had just as many, if not more, good chances than Rangers. Obviously, we rode our luck a little bit with the one that came off the crossbar. I actually turned to Alex Dyer when that happened. I said, you know what, it might be our day today. So it's always good when you get those little breaks at the right time, and the players work hard for that break.
And it had to be Boydie, I suppose, to tap it home, eh?
Well, it didn't need to be, but normally he's in the right position at the right time. You know, if you get the ball in the box, when it falls, the goalkeeper makes a half-decent save, doesn't get it away, and you know that Chris will be there or thereabouts, and he was there again.
Gordon, a thoroughly impressive afternoon yet again for Stevie Clark.
Yeah, he's correct in what he says. I don't think they got off to the greatest start. They were giving the ball away, but the one thing I did notice about them, they had a good shape about them. Everybody knew what their jobs were. And when you get in here at 0-0 and the fans are a bit restless, and then you come out in the second half and you get a bit of the ball, all of a sudden the confidence, you could see it growing and growing. And I said before the kickoff, if you've got a guy like Chris Boyd in that penalty box and anything drops to him, he can get you the win, he can get you the 3 points. He'll not get an easier goal. I don't know where the centre halves were, I really don't. He was standing in his cell, he tapped the ball into the back of the net. And then after that, as Graham Murty said, there was no pace, there was no desire, there was nothing to go and break Kilmarnock down. And it made it very easy for a well organised side. And Stevie Clark's right, that's what, 7 points out of nine against Rangers. So it's not a fluke. They came here with a lot of confidence and they went away with the 3 points, and well done to them.
Appointing Stevie Clark was Kilmarnock's Brendan Rodgers moment. They got someone you never thought would be there. The job he has done, the scale of the job he has done, is such though, they won't hold on to him.
Let's hear from Alan Archibald after Partick Thistle slipped to a 3-1 defeat at Tynecastle. Not looking great for the Jags down the bottom.
Look, it was surprising because off the back of a good clean sheet last week, an organised performance, we produced that in the first 20-25 minutes. We weren't anywhere near it, and the start kills us, and the game's nearly, well, probably is dead and buried at half time.
It seems strange, you know, barely getting caught in the ball. Abdul was maybe lucky to stay on at that stage as well. It seemed to be a lot of errors.
Yeah, we didn't deal with second balls. We knew they were going to press us. They're at home, they're off the back of a defeat in the derby. We knew it was coming, and we didn't heed the warning. And it was just individual errors mixed with an overall poor display. And especially, I just thought the first 15-20 minutes the goal was coming, and we didn't address it. It was bitterly disappointing. I think it's not changed. It is what it is. We knew where we are. I don't think the day changes anything. The only positive to take is still in our own hands, and that's a major positive. And we've got to make sure that we cut out the errors, because you can play badly and stay in a game, but that there you can't do. You've got individual errors and it kills you. And a lot of teams will play poorly, and we will as well, but it's important to stay in the game. You can't give teams goals, especially good sides.
Is this international break coming at a good time for you or a bad time, do you think, Alan?
You never want to go in yet in a bad performance and a bad defeat. It's a sore one to take. It gives us 2 weeks to prepare for our next game, which is Hibs.
Let's speak to Billy, who's a Rangers fan on the line, not too happy. Billy, pick a word if you can, keep it clean, to sum up how you're feeling.
Seriously, that's one of the worst displays I've seen at Ibrox in a long, long, long time. Not one player turned up today apart from Docky, I would say. Total disgraceful, honestly. I couldn't believe I was watching it after all that last week, and then back to the day, it was just a totally different game. It was playing the day, there was no conviction, there was no wanting it. If Rangers were in the game for about 15 minutes, I would say, after that, Kilmarnock dominated us. Where the park. I'd like to know about Jimmy Nicholls' role. I know he's coming in as a number two, but what actually is it? But what input is he putting in there? He's the three Saint Murray.
Gordon Dalziel, it's not always easy to know exactly, because a lot of that stuff will be private, but what do you make of Billy's point?
Well, I think Billy's got a good point, because I'm the exact same, because I just sit above the dugout, as you know, and I like looking at what the managers are doing and the coaches.
I heard you tried to header the ball and missed,
yeah,
by the way.
I was unfortunate, Gordon. It was a diving header, but unfortunately I missed it. But I looked at Jimmy Nicholl, and he comes out the he doesn't have a conversation with Murty. It's more Johansson, Jonathan Johansson, for some reason. Now, I find that very, very strange. I'm like Billy. I would like to, next time I speak to Jimmy, I'm going to ask him, what is your role here? Because no disrespect to Jonathan Johansson, I would be more and looking at Jimmy Nicol being a big influence in Murty because he's got the experience. He's been a manager. He's won things. He's been a top player. He's played at top clubs. So I don't understand where Jimmy's come into this. You know, I don't know what role he plays, whether it's in the dressing room, but it's certainly not a big role in the technical area.
I'm looking at the calls we've got lined up. I can see them coming in, and it looks like we've got more angry Rangers fans and happy St Mirren fans. That's coming up next.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan. Gordon DL, are you still there? Still keeping okay in the cold?
Frozen.
Right, I'll tell you here. What, on you go. We'll send you on your way.
Well done, Gordon.
I feel like, because I know it was your birthday yesterday, we've got to look after the elderly on this programme.
Exactly.
And it
well
must
done.
Be freezing. See you later.
See
have
you
a good
guys,
afternoon.
Care in the community. You're
absolutely.
All
enjoy the bingo later.
Tell me about it. 01419511025. Still time for you to get your calls in. David's a Celtic fan in Bells Hill. Hi, David.
Hi, guys. First of all, I'm definitely not on to gloat. I was a guy who was on a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you are one of the Davids in Bells Hill.
I am. I'm the one that was on a
you
couple
You became
of
quite
ago,
a famous double act. Just to put you in the picture for anyone who missed it, we had David the Celtic fan from Bells Hill and David the Rangers fan from Bells Hill just before the game last week. It was all very friendly and they were putting the world right, Murdo. But anyway, David, what's your point today?
I'm currently on my yacht just off the coast of Strathclyde Park because of that. I'm doing well. But no, listen, guys, there's been a lot of talk over the last few weeks and months about, you know, Morelos and Morelos this, Morelos that. I think a lot of Rangers fans have maybe got to look at it. Morelos has not done that badly. I mean, he's doing what he gets paid for. He's putting the ball in the net. One of the interesting stats that came out today, if you look at the league table the way it stands today, defensively, Rangers are currently in sixth place in the league. Now, there's been a lot of talk about, a lot of talk about the young David Bates, a lot of talk about, you know, Russell Martin, a lot of talk about Bruno Alves. The issue Rangers have got is that defensively, the fact they're the fifth worst team and the fifth best team in the Premier League is worrying. Now, when you look at the defence they've got, Russell Martin, no guarantee he'll be there next year. Bruno Alves at 36 has come to the end of his career and he's not a long-term, you know, option either. You look at Lee Wallace, who's injury prone, has hardly kicked a ball in the last two seasons. Rangers, if they really want to improve and move up the league, where they should be, deservedly should be, is they have to spend a lot of money at the back, I think, before they're even capable of becoming a top two, top three, in my opinion. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, David, for me, there are two issues, and it all stems from who will be the manager of the club. Point number one. That has to be determined. Then, as you rightly say, Alves' future will come up for discussion. Russell Martin will go back to the parent club. Whether he comes back is up to Rangers. Cummings will go back to the parent club. Murphy will go back. Goss will go back. So you need a manager in to decide who, if any, are coming back on a permanent basis, i.e. money to be paid for them. So, yeah, it is a time of flux for Rangers, and the last couple of weeks have come as a body blow to them because there was a belief that they might get a trophy out of the season. That belief is receding.
What about that fact that David puts forward, Derek, in the sense that for all the criticism of Morelos or whatever else, it's actually at the other end where Rangers are perhaps struggling more?
Well, we've said that. I mean, both fullbacks love to get up the park and create chances and score goals, which is great. It's the centre of defence. That's where the majority of goals are scored. You know, in the heart of the goals. And I think one of the biggest problems I've had, and problem they've got now, is Bates is going to be out for about 6 weeks. And I'm not a great fan, but I think he's a big lad with status. He's got a wee bit of pace. He's decent in the air, and I think he's a decent centre-half. He's unfortunate that Alexa McCrory's been out injured as well, because he's got himself. I think he's more of a midfielder, but with the midfield players that Rangers have got now, he may well be asked to play at the back. So you're looking at two youngsters maybe starting next season, you know, at centre-back position.
It's funny, David's talking about the defenders. When Rangers were on the run, no one mentioned it because a winning run, everybody's saying, oh, that things are fantastic. This is what we want to
see. As long as you're winning, scoring more goals, but they're losing a lot of goals, yeah.
People always say, oh, if you
it was always the
ill model,
though, wasn't it? Because remember even the Hamilton game, you know, Rangers scored five, but they lost three. You know, so there was always
like
those signs
adding up all the time. And every football club, good football clubs, if you're winning games a lot, And if you lose a goal, you're angry. You have an inquest with the defenders. What's went wrong? But if you're losing goals all the time and you're still winning the games, you're thinking it's all right. You don't look at it. But now, when it's you're not scoring goals, then all of a sudden you lose one at the other end.
David, just briefly before we let you go, I'm not for a second saying you were worried or anything last week that before anyone jumps on it. But what a turnaround it's also been then from a Celtic perspective, because rightly or wrongly, you had to listen to people saying that, you know, the gap could be closed today, essentially, because Rangers had the game before Celtic play tomorrow. All of a sudden, if Celtic go and win tomorrow, that is quite a gap.
Well, you know, as you say, you know, I've been on the show a few times, and you know, I'm certainly not one that's going to come on and gloat and just enjoy competitive football. But I certainly wasn't worried. I mean, one point Derek made there was about, you know, potentially too young centre-halves playing for Rangers next year. Now, when you look at the Celtic back line at the moment, we've got Christopher Ayer at 19, we've got Simunovic who's 22 or 23 years of age, and we've got Kieran Tierney who's 20 years of age. So I think part of the issue could be is that why sign guys at 35 and 36 in Alves when, you know, they should be looking to give some of the youngsters a go? But I just think at the moment is that the youngsters they've given a go at Rangers at the moment, such as Bates, I don't think he's done that. The stats show Rangers have got the fifth best defence in the SPL. So defensively, collectively, they're showing that there's no defenders actually good enough to get a second spot.
Okay, thanks to David in Bells Hill. Alex is a St Mirren fan on the line, so let's hear from Jack Ross.
The goals were good. I mean, I was pleased for Danny in respect to the first one because his all-round play has deserved that in recent weeks. Loses his free kick, he has that quality then. But Kyle's probably the best of the lot in terms of that third goal, but that's what he has in his locker, and I think he's, I've said previously over the last couple of months, he's probably got back to his best. So I'm fortunate as a manager that I can rely on that individual quality at times as well, and that came to the fore today.
With the way results have gone today, how big a step do you think that is towards the title now?
Not for us, and I've said this often enough, and at least I've been consistent in it, that we've had a focus from day one of pre-season of what we want to achieve, and we've always known that as the season progressed, we get to this stage, that if we maintain what we're doing, then it doesn't really matter what happens elsewhere. When results go your way like they did today, it's a bonus, but they can turn again next week. You know, we could drop points and other teams pick them up. So we have to work towards a total that will be difficult to stop, and that's what we're aiming for. And I think it's 63 points now, and I think we've won more league games than Hibs did last year and winning the title. Well, the problem is you don't draw very much, so you know, we haven't won, we've lost games, but I think 20 league victories at this stage of the season is a remarkable achievement for that group of players.
Alex, a St Mirren fan from Kirkdonald, a happy man tonight?
Well, it was on about 4 or 6 weeks ago, as you and Derek will remember at the time. Gordon had said that you know, we were in a great position, we could only throw it away. 5 years to the day that we won our last national trophy, tonight we've won the league. That's it, finished now. And Jack's been very modest, and it has to be an amazing achievement between him and James Fowler. But that's it done now. Dundee United drawing at home today. We can relax. It'll be great. St Mirren Park in the next few weeks will be full as we can get it with the home ticket allocations. The fans can enjoy the moment, as you said to me 4 weeks ago, just enjoy the moment. And it's only now that you believe that's it done. You can relax.
Jack is being the model of diplomacy there. That was the.
They have to be, Hugh. You'll never get a manager saying anything.
That's the long-winded, convoluted managerial answer for, yeah, we've won the championship. I can't say that.
I mean, they're now 12 points behind, 12 points in front of Livingston as we stand.
Yeah, because of course Livingston dropped points as well, didn't they? I know Alex pointed out.
So did Dundee United, Morton and Dunfermline. All the teams below them all drew today.
And if Dundee United have got games in hand, one of them's against us, and even if they beat us, then I think it goes to 11 behind. But I think for the St Mirren fans now, it's just trying to make sure you're at the game that they actually win the league at, and you know, maybe one of the earliest games. I think 11 points difference, 24 to play for, it could come down to maybe like breaking away, and God forbid, try to get a ticket for that game. you know.
Yeah, take it behind the hedge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or imagine on the day that St Mirren go to try and win the league, Bree can get their first win all season. Alec has been scrapping hard to get a ticket, and all of a sudden. But Alec, as well, there must be listen, when you're about to win a title, there's clearly a lot goes into it. But I'm looking today, Lewis Morgan, who's taken a lot of the headlines this season, he scores again. But Kyle McGuinness, you know, into the Scotland under 21 squad, in terms of publicity, he's perhaps had to go just below Lewis Morgan, but clearly another one who's impressive as well.
Gordon, I said it in the programme 4 or 6 weeks ago, and Derek picked me up on it. You know, what we don't want to be doing is shouting too loudly about these players. We're a conveyor belt. I quoted the names the last time I was on. The academy guys are doing a brilliant job. The chairman's doing a fantastic job in terms of communication. The fans putting their money into the club, and additional money some of you pay every month goes to the youth academy. The lad that was on, the Celtic fan there, talking about what Celtic have done. You know, St Mirren have been doing that for years. We don't want to shout too loud. I said on my call 4 weeks ago, McGuinness is the best of them all. He's the best player of them all. I've got my fingers crossed and McGinn goes for $7 million during the summer, because we're on to a third of that. You know, we've got $1 million for winning the league. We were on our uppers a few years ago, our club. We were getting sold for buttons when Stuart Gilmour had his fill. And quite rightly, Stuart done his job at the time. The future looks so, so good for us. And what we should be doing now is making sure the next time we go up back into the SPL, we'll be a great team to have up there, great fan base, play great football. Let's make sure we stay there for the long term, and that's the next 15, 20 years. We kind of go back down over the next 2 or 3, and I don't think that will happen. And again, enjoy Jack where we've got him. He's not going to be there for long.
Okay, thank you to Alec, a happy St Mirren fan tonight. Hugh Keevans, sum up today's football, please.
Rangers league season has imploded. The big question at Ibrox now is, can Graham Murty be the Rangers manager? That will be determined by the result against Celtic in the Scottish Cup, I think. Partick Thistle are deep in trouble at the other end of the league. Excitement all the way to come. Top, bottom, middle.
And the football's not over for the weekend. Remember, Motherwell against Celtic tomorrow. That could have a big bearing on a number of situations in the league. But thank you to Derek Johnson, Murdo McLeod and Hugh Keevans for joining me, Gordon Duncan, this afternoon. A big thanks as always to the top team all around the grounds as well. And we always like to reserve the biggest thanks for you, because you listen carefully, you get involved on Twitter, you take part in our competitions, and you get involved on the phones as well. So thank you. We'll get the chance to do it all over again on Monday night. Hugh Keevans, Derek Johnson and myself will be here from 6.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.